okay. We will be learning Hilchas Shabbos this year. Next week we'll dedicate Tuesday night to Inyani Rosh Hashanah and the week after to Inyani Yom Kippur. But tonight we'll start with Inyani Shabbos. And after Sukkot Tezavah, we'll go back to Inyani Shabbos. The Mishnah Brura has a Hakdomah to Chelek Gimel. Chelek Gimel has all of Hilchas Shabbos. He writes in the Hakdomah how important the observance of Shabbos is. The Gemara tells us in the first Perek in Chulin, on Daf Hei, that Mechal Shabbos Befrahes Hedina Kavir Avod Zarah. Because when a person observes Shabbos, he's testifying that he believes in the story of creation. He believes that God created the world, and therefore that God is the Balabas, and therefore we're mechiv to listen to all of his mitzvahs, to observe all of his mitzvahs. And one is Mechal Shabbos Befrahes Hedina Kavir Avod Zarah. He's considered the lechumra. He's not considered lekula. As a nochri, you can't use him as Shabbos toy, but he's considered lechumra. He's considered like a nochri. And the dinim of Shabbos is so complicated. And Mishnah Brura writes that if you're not going to spend time to learn the dinim, one will certainly be in violation of something or another. So the Chelek Gimel, the Mishnah Brura starts with Siman Reish Mem Beis. The Yizor beklot Shabbos. So the Mishnah Brura explains that. This is a line in the Rambam towards the end of Hilchus Shabbos. He starts off at Perek that there are four mitzvahs in connection with observance of Shabbos, two in the Chumash and two Shnaim Shen Sparsha Aydei Hanavim. Zochah v'Shamar are the two that are in Chumash. That's the major contradiction between the text of the Aseres Hadibas as it appears in Parshas Yisro and as it appears in Parshas Vayeschana. In Yisro it says Zocher Shem Shabbos Lekatshei, and in Eschan it says Shomer Shem Shabbos Lekatshei, and the Chazal considered this a real contradiction. Rabban says whenever the Chumash quotes something that somebody said, it's not necessarily quoting verbatim, and when it says what the text of the Aseres Hadibas was not necessarily word for word what it said in Aseres Hadibas. Whenever the Chumash quotes something, it's the gist of what it says. So basically, there are quite a few discrepancies between the text of the Aseres Hadibas as it appears in Parshas Yisro and as it appears in Parshas Vayeschanan. That's what the Ibn Ezra raises the question in Parshas Yisro. Why did the Chazal only work on the contradiction between Zochah v'Shamar? What about all the other contradictions? So the Ramban says, the Chumash tells us the gist of what it said. It could be that the actual text of the Aseres Hadibas was neither what it says in the Yisro nor what it says in Vayeschanan. Maybe this is just the gist of what it said. But with respect to Zochah v'Shamar, there's a contradiction as far as what the gist is. Because Zochah is a mitzvah saseh. Zochah means lahazikir, to mention Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos, to recite Kiddush. In other words, Kiddush is deraisa. The Gemara has a lashon nashim chayovis b'kiddush hayom d'var Torah. In other words, despite the fact that kiddush is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, we really should have said that women should be butter, but it's an exception to the rule. So the lashon Gemara, we'll talk about that in a minute. So the Gemara says nashim chay. The expression used by the Gemara is nashim chayovis b'kiddush hayom d'var Torah. What does that mean? So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs claims, I don't know how he knows this, the Rambam claims that phrase, Devar Torah, means that that's Pshuto Shal Mikra, that's Torah Shebichsav. It's not that Zochah Shem Shabbos Lekatsha means to remember the day of Shabbos, and it's a drasha of the Torah Shebal Peh, that you should recite Kiddush, Lahazkir B'Peh. No, the Rambam says, Lashem Chayav is B'Kiddush Ayam, Devar Torah. Devar Torah means that the men and the women are Mukhiyev, that they Pshuto Shal Mikra, to recite Kiddush. Because the Rambam has 14 klolim. The first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs are the 14 sharoshim, 14 klolim of the Rambam to determine which mitzvahs belong in the account of Taryag, which don't belong. So the Rambam's first klal is you don't include mitzvahs derabbanan. The second klal is you don't include dinim that are only known through the rashis of the Torah Shebal Peh. Because according to the Rambam, l'shitasai, in every generation, the Chachamim can add on additional drushes, and these will become dinim deraisa. So, if you add on more dinim, so you're not going to have 613. So he says, you start with 613. Before you begin to make any drushes of Torah Shebal Peh, additional levels of interpretation, L'fi pshuto shel mikra, you have 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam includes Kiddush. He says the reason why he believes that Zohar means lahazkir, to mention Dushas Hayom of Shabbos, because the Loshan HaGemara said Noshim Chayobis, Kiddush Hayom Dvar Torah, that expression means that it's pshuto shel mikra. So the Ramban HaChumash says that the reason why the Chazal were only worried about this contradiction, Zohar B'Shamar, all the other contradictions, basically the gist of what it says in Yisro and what it says in Maschanan is the same. And here there's a real contradiction, because Zohar is a mitzvah saseh, and Shamar is a mitzvah loy saseh. The Gemara says, whenever it says loy, like loy sirtzach, loy signoy, loy sas m'shar b'dishay. So loy is a loy saseh, or when it says Hishama pen v'yau, that's also a loy saseh. So here it says, Shamar Hashem Shabbos Lekatsha, Shamar is like Hishamer. So that's a loy saseh. So that Ramban says, that's what the Chazal were working on, this contradiction. How can it be? What is the gist of the mitzvah? Is this one of this is the fourth of the Aseres HaDibes? Was this formulated as a mitzvah saseh? Was it formulated as a mitzvah loy saseh? So the Gemara says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Aseres HaDibes and Maimon HaSinai, he proclaimed both simultaneously. Zoch v'shame v'dibur echa nemru, ma'sheina pe'yichot ledabe v'lo ha'oysen yichot l'shmoya. It's impossible to hear clearly if you hear two booming voices, two booming sounds proclaiming two different things, Zoch v'shame Shabbos l'katshay, and Shamos v'shame Shabbos l'katshay. So that's considered like, treat that like a hekesh. A hekesh really means if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk. Like the pasuk says, if a man divorces his wife, she goes, she marries someone else, and the second husband divorces her, that the first husband is not allowed to marry his wife, because she married someone else in between. If a man divorces his wife and he remarries her, that's fine. I have a classmate of mine who's married to the same wife for the third time. There are people like that, the prominent people, married to the same wife two or three times. So that's not an Issa. But if a woman was divorced and she married someone else in between, and then she gets divorced and the second husband dies, then the Torah has a prohibition. The first husband is not allowed to remarry her. So the Pasuk says, V'yatzim ibeisa v'holcha v'hoysa v'yishacher. V'yatzim ibeisa goes on gerishin, v'holcha v'hoysa goes on kiddushin. So that's what the Gemara says. You have gerishin written in the same Pasuk with kiddushin mentioned one after the other. We treat that as a hekesh. That's called makesh havaya liyitzia. Havaya means to get married. Kisiyena liyishtein hashim. The man is married to two wives. So here it says, v'holcha v'hoysa liyishacher. V'hoysa liyishacher means she marries someone else. So makesh havaya liyitzia is how I established the din that... That's how I established the din that a man can be mekadosh an isha al yedei shtar, because by gerushin the only way to do gerushin is by shtar. So the fact that kiddushin is written right next to gerushin, biyatzim ebeis of ahocha v'hoysa liyishacher, teaches me that just like gerushin can be done al yedei shtar, that's a get, so the kiddushin can be done al yedei shtar. So that's a hekesh. So that's when you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, one next to the other. So the Gemara says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaims both dinim simultaneously, Zoch b'shamer b'dibur echad nemru, they were both proclaimed simultaneously. It's not that one is in the first half of the pasuk, one is in the second half of the pasuk. The both phrases were proclaimed simultaneously. That's even stronger than a hekesh. So the Gemara says, that's how I established the din, that Kiddush is one of the exceptions to the rule. We have a rule that women are not obligated to observe a mitzvah seseh shazman grom. What's an example? Tzitzis, tefillin, shofar, lulav, sukkah, mitzvah seseh shazman grom. This week we're going to lay in the Parshas HaShavua about Hakel. Hakel is on Chalamoit Sukkahs once every 7 years. The sukkah is following Shnas HaShemitah. So that should really be a mitzvah seseh shazman grom. Women should be exempt from observing that mitzvah. So the Gemara says, the Gemara points out that it's an exception to the rule, because it says Beferish Chumash, you should gather together Hanashim Hanashim Akaf. It says Beferish that the women are mechuyev to participate in Hakel, despite the fact that it says Zman Grom. The Gemara says that matzah is also an exception to the rule, and kiddush is an exception to the rule. Kiddush is an exception because zocher v'shama b'dei berechad nemru. Shama means aloises, not to do malacha. Chal Shabbos, Hashem Shabbos means one that doesn't do malacha. So the loises is shaz magram and women are mechuyev to observe. Kiddush is learned out from zocher, so the women should have been exempt from kiddush. And he says, since Zohar v'Shama were both proclaimed simultaneously, we treat it like a Hekesh. The same thing, matzah and chametz are in the same pasuk. Same pasuk says, you should eat matzah for the duration of 7 days of Pesach, and you shouldn't eat chametz. So it's not b'dei berechad nemru, but it's the two halves of the same pasuk. So that's considered a Hekesh when you have two dinim written in the same pasuk. So just like women are forbidden from eating chametz all the 7 days of Pesach, because that's a loises hishnas mangroma. So the women are obligated to eat matzah on Leil HaSeder, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah says hishnas mangroma, they should have been potter. It's another one of the exceptions to the rule. The Rambam writes in one place, I think, that there are more exceptions to the rule than there that is mangroma, women are chayiv, than there are mitzvahs that fall under the rule. How many mitzvahs are there that is mangroma that women are potter? There aren't so many. Tzitzis and tefillin, shofar, lulav, in sukkah, it's five. I don't know if there are too many more. That's five. And I think the Rambam writes in one place there are more exceptions to the rule than there are the rule. So the Rambam writes like this. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it in the first Sifkot and Reish Mem Beis, beginning of the third chelik of Mishnah Berurah. So the Rambam, towards the end of the Hilchos Shabbos, starts off the parak. There are four mitzvahs in connection with Shabbos, two in the Chumash, Zachar v'Shomer. Zachar is a mitzvah sesei, to recite Kiddush, and Shomer is a mitzvah loy sesei, not to do malacha. And then Shnayim, another two mitzvahs, Shinis Parshu al Yidei HaNevim, that was spelled out by the Nevim. Then Obi Yishtaya says, the Karas of the Shabbos Oneg, L'Kadosh Hashem Mechubot. There's a din of Kibud v'Oneg. What exactly is the difference between kibud and oneg? So it's a little unclear. So Rav Soloveitchik was always fond of quoting the Bir Hagra. It's not here in Hilchos Shabbos, but it's rather in Hilchos Yontif. When the Shulchan Aruch quotes that the dinim, it quotes from the Rambam, the dinim of kibud and oneg carry out from the Gemara, it would appear that that pasuk in Yeshaya, the karas of the Shabbos oneg, dosh Hashem mechubad, only applies to Shabbos, does not apply to Yontif. The simple reading in the Gemara is that kibud oneg is only on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. But somehow the Rambam writes not so. The Beis HaLevi points this out, that the Rambam seems to be against the Gemara in more than one place. The Gemara in a few places sounds explicitly like that. But somehow the Rambam became more popular. And the Rambam says that Kibud V'Yonig applies equally to Shabbos and to Yom Tov, because all the Yom Tov are also called Shabbos. As it says by Sfira Sa'imra, we should start counting Sfira in Machros HaShabbos, and it doesn't mean we always start counting Sfira on a Sunday, the day after Shabbos, but the Gemara will refer to as Shabbos Bereshis, the Shabbos of Sheshis May Bereshis, but it's Saturday, Shabbos, what we call Shabbos, but rather you start counting a Sfira in Machros HaShabbos on the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach. So Shabbos in that context is referring to the Yom Tov of Pesach. And the same thing there, Psukim, everyone comes to be Oyle Regal, that refers to the Shalosh Regalim. It doesn't refer to Shabbos. Lassi Lava, the Medrash says, we will all have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Ali Oyle Regal, Midei Chodesh B'Chodesh, every Rosh Chodesh, Midei Shabbos B'Shabbato, goes on Shalosh Regalim. And the same thing when the Isha Shunamis, when the baby died, she was married for some years, she had no children, and then the Navi Elisha gave her a bracha, next year she'll have a baby. So when the baby got a sunstroke, he went out to help his father in the farm, got a sunstroke and he died, so she wanted to go visit the Navi to tell Elisha, to complain to Elisha, what did she need the baby for? Just the baby should die, she should have aggravation. So she didn't want to tell her husband that the baby had died. So the husband says, why are you going to visit the Navi? The Chodesh Hayom Elo Shabbos. Today is neither Rosh Chodesh, nor is it Sholosh Regalim. Because Chayiv Adam Lahakbal Penei Rabba Beregel, just like we have a mitzvah to visit the Shechina on Sholosh Regalim, so too there's a mitzvah to visit the Rebbe on Sholosh Regalim. And just like there's an inyan of Aliyah LeRegel on Rosh Chodashim, so too there's an inyan to visit the Rabbeim on Rosh Chodashim as well. So that's what the husband of the Isha Shalama says. Isha Shunamis, he says, why are you going to go visit Elisha Anobi? Lo Chodesh Hayayim, Lo Shabbos, it's neither Rosh Chodesh nor Sholosh Regolim. So that's what the Rambam says, that in Tanakh we know that Yontav is sometimes referred to as Shabbos. So all the dinim of Shabbos carry over to Yontav. So not only did the Yisuri Malacha carry over, but Kibud V'Yoneg also carries over. That's what the Beis Halevi says. That's a problematic Rambam, because from the Gemara in a few places it would appear that Kibud V'Yoneg is only Noeg on Shabbos, and it's not Noeg on Yontav. So that the Vilna Gaon and the Bi'ur Agro disappears in Ilchas Yontav. When the Shulchan Aruch writes that the dinim of Kibud V'Yoneg apply to Yontav as well, not just the Shabbos, so the Vilna Gaon gives the following definition. Kibud means all the hachanas that one does in advance of Shabbos, and Oineg means the fact that you enjoy everything on Shabbos. The fact that you vacuum the rug on Erev Shabbos, that's Kibud. You enjoy the fact that the house is clean and neat, that's Oineg. In fact, you put up the cholent on Erev Shabbos, that's Kibud, and you bench lift on Erev Shabbos. Then you enjoy the cholent, you eat it on Shabbos, that's Oineg. And you enjoy the fact that the house is lit up, and he won't be nichshol be'etz of the heaven, he won't stumble over anything in the house, that's the Oineg Shabbos. So the Hadlokas HaNeris says both. Hadlokas HaNeris says, but the Rambam quotes it twice. He says, Hadlokas HaNeris on Erev Shabbos is Kibud. Achanas that are done in advance of Shabbos. And then the fact that the house, the home is lit up, and the people enjoy the lit up home, that's Oineg Shabbos. That's why Rav Soloveitchik would say over several major poskim have like this, that a lot of people have the practice that on Erev Shabbos the women bench lift in advance, but on Yom Tov they wait till the husband comes home from shul, and then they bench lift on Yom Tov, because on Shabbos you can't do malacha, even the Torah Chalchan Nefesh, you can't light any candles, but on Yom Tov the malacha Chalchan Nefesh is muta legamre, so they don't bench lift till the husband comes home. So the Beis HaLevi writes that that's not proper. He says, and many other poskim, Rabitzla Petterburg has a truth about that. Many others say like that. It's not correct that even on Yom Tov, the proper practice should be that the women should bench lift in advance of Yom Tov. That's the mitzvah of Kibbutz, to do all the hachanas in advance. On Yom Tov, the fact the house is lit up and we enjoy the lit up home, that's Oineg, like on Shabbos. But Kibbutz requires, even on Erev Yom Tov, just like Erev Shabbos, to make all the hachanas in advance. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes that people should make all the preparations on Erev Shabbos and Kovet Shabbos. The Rambam's lashon is that there are four mitzvahs in connection with Shabbos: Zachar v'Shamar in the Chumash. Zachar is the mitzvah seseh, Shamar is aloy seseh, not to do malacha. And Kibud v'Yoneg, he writes Shnayim, two mitzvahs, Shnayim, Shenisparshu al yidei hanavim. How do you translate Shenisparshu? So we usually translate it that the two mitzvahs that were spelled out by the Nevi'im. The Navi Yeshaya says, the Karas of the Shabbos HaNeg, L'Kdosh HaShem B'chukah. So Soloveitchik thought, he mentioned this, it's the first Sifkot in the Mishnah Berurah, in Reish Mem Beis. A lot of poskim apparently like this pshat. Shnayim Shenisparshu means that the Navi interpreted, he gave a pirish. The mitzvah of Zohar is a little unclear. Shomar is clear. Shama means you're not allowed to do malachi. Shama pen v'ala zaloi tzeseh. It means you're not permitted to do malachi. But what does zacha mean? So zacha means lahazikir, to mention kedushas hayom of Shabbos. What else is included in zacha? So Rav Soloveitchik understood, like the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Achronim here, shnayim shenispar shalidei hanavim. The kibud v'yoneg, the Navi Yeshaya interprets, he gives a pirush, that Kibud V'Yoneg are also included in the Pasuk of Zohar, making it into a Din D'Oraisa. We usually thought the Din D'Oraisa, the Din D'Rabbanan, and then there's something in between, Dibri Kabbalah. It's not Mid'Oraisa, but the Nevi'im came up with it, and it has the Haskama of the Ruach HaKodesh. The Nevi'im Sifra Nevuah were written by Ruach HaKodesh. So here, the Achronim understand, and the Rambam, Shnayim Shenisparshu al-yidei hanavim, the Navi Yeshaya was giving a pirush to the mitzvah of Kibud. The Kibud includes all the hachanas, the pirush to the mitzvah of Zohar. That Zohar includes not only to recite Kiddush Lahazikir, but also to make all the hachanas mid-bo yom, and to enjoy Oineg on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Rav Soloveitchik said that where he came from, the practice used to be that on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, the women always bench lift 30 minutes before Shkia. And on Erev Yom Kippur, they would bench lift 60 minutes before. And then they would normally be Mekabel Shabbos, Mekabel Yom Tov, and Mekabel Yom Kippur when they would light the bench lift. Because the Baal Halachas Gedolos, the Halachas Gedolos was lived in the days of the Geonim. He himself was not the Geonim. The name of the yeshiva was Geon Yankiv. So whoever was the Rosh HaYeshiva was known as Rosh Yeshiva's Geon Yankiv. They used to call them Bikitzer Geon. Some of them were outstanding Talmidei Chachamim and others were not so outstanding. So the Halachas Gedolos was written in the days of the Geonim. Some say it was Rabbi Yehudai Gaon, others say it was someone else who lived in the days of the Gaonim. But Tosfos usually has big respect for the Bahag, even if they don't really agree with him, even if they don't understand why he said it. Like Bahag came up with the Chiddush that if you skip one day in Svira, so you lose the Kima Mitzvah. So Tosfos is not happy about that. But they don't want to go against the Bahag, so they recommend that one should continue counting without a bracha. Or the other Chiddush that the Baha'i came up with, this is not happy. Well, the women are Mukhiv and Mikra Megillah, but not under the same level Chiv as the men. So a woman cannot read the Megillah to be Moitzi a man. So Tosfos said, this Ark said it, he lived in the days of the Goyim. Some claimed he was Rabbi Yehudai Goyim, who was one of the more prominent Goyim, even if he wasn't, but he had a lot of older traditions called the Vargadim Rekapola. That's why they're very respectful of the Bahag. So the so here, Rav Soloveitchik said that the practice used to be that the women would bench lift, and the Bahag says, once you bench lift, it's Kabbalah's Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha Shalodim. If you said a bracha lahad Nigneh Shal Shabbos, it becomes Shabbos Bal Korcha. The Bahag really said, not only Shabbos becomes Shabbos Bal Korcha for the woman who benches lift, for all the members of the family who are yotze with her adlaka. That's a chiddush on top of a chiddush. So even on the Shulchan Aruch, they recommend to be choshish for the Shitas Bahag, that they're only machmir with respect to the woman of benchlich. The woman of benchlich shouldn't do any malacha after she lights the candles to be choshish for the Bahag. But the men go to shul and they didn't daven mincha yet. If it would be a Kabbalah's Tosef for Shabbos, the Magen Avraham quotes that the older minig used to be that the men would go to shul and daven mincha, then they would send their children home to tell the mother that she can bench licht now because they finished davening mincha. The older practice used to be that they were choshish for the Bahag all the way. That Hadlokas Haneris is Kabbalah Tasef to Shabbos Bal Korchoi for the woman who lights the candles and for all the Bnei Abayis also. Whoever is Yotzeh with her Hadlokah, the whole family, each family has one Hadlokah. So it's Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos for everybody. And once you're Mekabel Shabbos, that says in the Gemara that it's not right to daven Tefillah Schol. So you can't daven Mincha. So the old practice used to be that the men would go to Shul daven Mincha, then they would send one of their children home to tell a mother that she can bench Licht now. Now the practice is in Shul. By the time they wrote to Shulchan Aruch already, it just says that the women are Machma like that. They were choshish for the Shita Sabahag that the women who bench licht don't do malocha afterwards. If it's a big shas hatrak, then we're mekel that she can have in mind or say explicitly that she's making a tanai. She's not mekabel Shabbos yet. She's going to be mekabel Shabbos at some later time. But that's important to keep in mind. Meikar Adin, we don't really hold like this Bahag. Meikar Adin, a woman can bench licht and not be mekabel Shabbos. But if she benches licht for Yontif, of a Yom Kippur, and many women have the practice that they say Shachyanu when they bench lift, said das dosh date na Gemara. That's a beferish Gemara. The Hadlokas Haneris that all the Rishonim disagree with the Bahag. They say Hadlokas Haneris does not accomplish Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha Shalodim. But reciting Shachyanu is only possible if you are Mekabel Kedushas Hayom. You can't say Shachyanu for Yontif and make a tanai that you're not Mekabel Yom Tov. So you said Shechiyana on Erev Yom Tov. So that's not acceptable. A lot of women don't realize that. So they bench lift the Erev Yom Kippur and they drive to Shul. They make a tanai, they want to drive to Shul. You plan to drive to Shul, you can't say Shechiyana at the time of Hadlokas Haneris. That all the Rishonim agree. Shechiyana, that's a Gemara Beferish. That's a Gemara Beferish and Erevin. Shechiyana can only be recited after you already were Mekabel Yom Tov. It's based on that Gemara that the Bahag extended it and held it. Not only Shechiyana cannot be recited on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, even Lahad Lekner Shal Shabbos, Lahad Lekner Shal Yom Tov also means that it's Kabbalah Tosef and Shabbos Bal Korchai. Yes, Rav Soloveitchik said that where he was brought up, the practice used to be that there would bench lift 30 minutes before the Shkia, and every Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, and an Erev Yom Kippur, there would bench lift 60 minutes before. And as a child, he remembers asking, why is it 60 minutes before? So the official explanation that he was given was 30 minutes Tosefes for Mevoche, 30 minutes Tosefes for the Inuyim. And he said he never understood what that means. What do you mean? This one Kedusha Zayahim that Hases ben Malocha an Yom Kippur and is Mechai ben all the Inuim. So what do you mean 30 minutes for this, 30 minutes for that? That's what others say. Perhaps the reason why they had twice as much Tosefes on Yom Kippur was because of the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam Shita is that Mosifa Mechol HaKadosh only applies to Yom Kippur. It doesn't apply to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Even if it, most Achrayim assume doesn't apply, you're not Mechuyib in Atar, you're not Mechuyib in the Rabbanan. And even if you want Mekabel Tosefes, it's not Chal in Atar, it's not Chal in the Rabbanan. It doesn't exist. Tosefes, Shabbos and Yom Tov doesn't exist. Only exist on Yom Kippur. That's the Rambam sheet. But in Shulchan Aruch, they don't pass like that. Shulchan Aruch, they pass in, like Tosefes, that there is a din of Tosefes on every regular Shabbos and every regular Yom Tov. Where did the 30 minutes come from? Oh, so that's why there is a Gemara in Beitza on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, where the Gemara complains about the fact that some of the women do melacha so late on Erev Shabbos that they violate the din of Erev Yom Kippur, that they violate the din of Masif and Mechol Al HaKadosh. So what do you mean? They do melacha in Bein HaShemashes, so they eat in Bein HaShemashes. Everybody knows you don't do melacha in Bein HaShemashes. It must be that there's, from the Gemara it would appear that there's a minimum amount of time that you're supposed to be Moshe Mechol Al HaKadosh. So Tosfos writes that like that in Beitza Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, a little Tosfos, but they say they don't know how much, what the amount of time is. Well, from the Gemara would appear that there's a minimum amount of time you have to be Moshe Mechol Al HaKadosh, but they don't know how much it is. So in that Daf, we have the Tosfos Rabbein of Peretz. He was one of the Balei HaTosfos. He says that he thinks that it's a half an hour, because whenever you have Mishnah, Samach Mincha Gedolah, Samach Mincha Ketanah, Din of Samach. So Samach always means a half an hour before. And sometimes there's a din of Samach that's a din deraisa. The Gemara in Shavuos has a din that's for married people. It's Nageya. And Nisha has a Vesus Kavua. Let's say every 35 days at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she has a Riyaz Dam. So there's a din of Prisha B'Shas Vesta on the Oinas HaVesa. She has to be Pirish. So the Gemara says, more comments on the Pasuk. The Izartem is Bnei Yisrael mitumasim. Izartem means be yifrashtem. You should get Bnei Yisrael to be Purish, Prisha, from their wives, Samach Levesta. And many Rishonim hold that that's a din deraisa. Was he Samach Levesta? So the Ritva quotes the Ramban over there as saying the following. Samach Levesta means she has a Vesus Kavua every 35 days or every whatever, 18th of the month, whatever it happens to be. She has a Riyaz Dam 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so 30 minutes before, at 3:30, there's a din of Samach Levesta. That's a din of Prisha Menatur. Then the Gemara says that Midirabbana, they extended it, and the whole Oinus HaVesa is the whole day. If a Riyaz Dam is always in the daytime, so the whole day is the Samach Levesta. There's a din of Prisha the whole day. Or if a Riyaz Dam is always at night, so the whole Oinus HaLaila, the whole nighttime, is a chiyah prisha midirabban, but minatayra, we don't have that Ramban anywhere else. Just the Ritva and Shavuos and that Gemara, Rizatens bnei son bitumasim, Azarad bnei son sheifrushim in shaseim, Samach Levestan. So the Ritva quotes that Ramban. Samach Levestan means a half an hour before. So Samach could be on a level of their eyes. So the concept of Samach means a half an hour before. Like the Gemara has it, then we'll learn it. We'll try to learn the dinim of Borer. On Shabbos, you're not permitted to be borer psolos and reichel that are bitarubis. Now let us separate them. But if it's samach l'su'udah, and it's your borer reichel mitach psolos miyad biyad, you're doing it biyad, you're not using a kli hamiyuchad l'breire, and you're doing it samach l'suda, so then it's mutar. How much is samach? So some poskim say samach means a half an hour before. Half an hour before you're about to eat it, that's called samach. So that's what the Rabbeinu Peretz says, that there's a din of Tosef and Shabbos 30 minutes before Shkia. Shkia is already the Bein HaShmashas. Some Bein HaShmashas come, that's not Tosef and Shabbos, that's Sofik Deraisa L'chumra. So half an hour before that is Samach. So Samach, L'Kmitzas HaShabbos, there's a din of Tosef and Shabbos. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes this. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't bask like the Rambam. That's a problematic Rambam, because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes the Beferish against the Rambam. The Gemara Beferish at the Din HaMasif and Mechol HaKadosh doesn't only apply to Yom HaKippurim. One of the sources is the Pasuk on Yom Kippur that it says, B'tish HaKadosh Ba'er V'nisim Esnav Shel Sechem, we should fast B'tish HaKadosh Ba'er on the ninth day of Tishrei at night. So why does it say on the ninth day? The night after the ninth day is the tenth day. And in the Jewish calendar, the days begin Ayom HaLachachar Laila. All the days begin with the night time. Now it's Tuesday night. Tuesday night belongs to Yom Harvi already. It's early Yom Harvi. It's Yom Harvi tonight. Sula Nisa Sula Yom Harvi. If a girl is getting married for the first time, so they get married on the Yom Harvi. So the Achronim say if you're getting married at night, so it's Tuesday night instead of Wednesday night. Tuesday night is Yom Harvi. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh Omrim, that there's a mitzvah lahos mechol al hakodesh every Shabbos and every yontif. Why does that Yesh Omrim? That is the din. So that's the style of Rabbi Yosef Karo in writing the Shulchan Aruch. Whenever there's a din that only one Rishon says it and the others don't say one way or the other, or many disagree, but he means to pass it like that. So they write Yesh Omrim. He writes over Yesh Omrim that you have to be moisim mechol al hakodesh. That's how we pass it. That there is a din of Tosefes, not only on Yom Kippur, even by every Shabbos in Yom Tov as well. So that's Rav Soloveitchik said, where he came from, the practice was that there would be Moisa Mechol al HaKodesh every Shabbos in Yom Tov, 30 minutes before the Shkia. Because after the Shkia already, that's not Tosefes, that's Bein HaShmashas begins. Bein HaShmashas is Sofik Derais HaLuchum, Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. Sofik HaShecha, Sofik Enech HaShecha is Sofik Derais HaLuchum. So on Erev Yom Kippur, the practice would be that they would bench lift 60 minutes before. They would have extra Tosefes. Whatever the Hezbollah was, they would have extra Tosefes. There's a simon later, in the end of Chelek Yimot, a simon Shin Chav Ches, where the Shulchan Aruch quotes the dinim of Chola, that Pikoch Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos, and Pikoch Nefesh, we have the Pasuk of Chai Bohem. The Gemara in the end of Yuma has the dinim with respect to fasting on Yom Kippur. Some people are just so weak that if they fast on Yom Kippur, they may put their lives b'sakana. B'sakana does not necessarily mean they're going to die that day on Yom Kippur. Sakana means if the doctors will ascertain that by fasting on Yom Kippur, a person will die 1 minute earlier than otherwise. So that's called suffix sakanas nefashos, to die 1 minute earlier. But there's so many other things that cause people to die earlier. Most Americans are obese. That's the national sickness here in America. Everybody's overweight. Everybody's too healthy. So the obesity will probably contribute to their early death or other sicknesses that people have. So you can't really say that fasting on Yom Kippur is going to may possibly cause a person to die earlier, so it's hard to even consider that a stop fix on Kanas and Fashas. But that's the din that the Pikoch Nefesh is Decha Kol HaTarkul, is Decha Shabbos, Decha, it's just not Decha there when some, once in a long while there's a din, we have to Shash HaMalakecha, V'chol Nafshecha, Filin Neupeles Namshecha, that's what we call Yehoring Vayavar. By the Gimel Aver Sachamuris, Aver Dizorgi Le'erais and Shvichas Damim, the din is that the Pikoch Nefesh is not Decha. And even by other Averis, if the Nochri is Miskaban Havira al Adas, and it's Bishas Xeris Hashmad, or it's Bifrahesia, if Ne'asorim Yisrael, so then the din is also that Yahari Lo Yavar. But otherwise, under normal conditions, that when a person is sick, the din is that Pikoch Nefesh is Decha. So the whole Suya Pikoch Nefesh appears in the last Perek in Yuma. The whole story began with respect to fasting on Yom Kippur. Misunderstood what it says in Sefer Maccabim, the book of Maccabees. It sounds as if It was only in the days of the Chashmonaim. The Chashmonaim were a little over 200 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. How long was the Bayis Sheni? The Bayis Sheni was carved in the year 70, that we know. And how long it lasted is a question. The Gemara always assumes Bayis Sheni lasted 420 years. The Tanakh says the Bayis Rishon lasted 410 years. And the Bayis Sheni lasted longer than the Bayis Rishon. So the Gemara's tradition was that it was only 10 years longer, it was 420 years. According to the Goyish history books, it lasted much longer than 150 years longer than Bayis Rishon. So that's a question whether we follow the Goyish history books or not. So many Gedolim wrote, they think the Gemara made a mistake, that they correct the version the way it says in the Goyish history books, and others think not so. That's a question, how long did the Bayis Sheni last? But in the Sefer Makkabim it says that until the days of the Chashmonaim, they never realized that they're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to go to war in order to save lives. So that can't be. That's what many poskim say is ridiculous. How can it be? From day number one, when the Torah was given, there were certainly people who were going to be too weak and feeble to fast on Yom Kippur. So they had to have a din of Pikach Nefesh is Derech Yom Kippur before the days of the Chashmonaim. Chashmonaim was a little over 200 years before the Churban HaBayis HaSheni. They must have had a din in the Midbar that Cholim, who is a Chodesh Esh B'Sakana, have to eat on Yom Kippur, and you have to drive to the hospital on Shabbos if you're going to have a baby and so on. So it must be that there was some detail in Hilchas Pikuach Nefesh that was developed in the days of the Chashmonaim, something about Melchama on Shabbos. But if the Goyim attacked the Jews on Shabbos, that they were allowed to fight back and be Mechal Shabbos to save their lives, that's a double pasher like that. That was always the din. So here in the Shulchan Aruch, in Sim Shin Chav Ches, you have all the dinim of Chayla. So it says in the end of Shin Chav Ches, Siv Beis, the last line of the Siv Beis. If a person has some member of the family, has a complication, medical condition, and it's a suffix, Sakon, he goes, he asks the rabbi, he's allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to take him to the hospital. It says, Hashoyel, HaReza, Shefer Damim, the one who comes to ask the dayan, to ask the rabbi, is he allowed to take the person to the hospital? Maybe a shevir adamim, by going to ask, he may postpone taking the person to the hospital for 5-10 minutes, and the person, that may be so crucial, the patient may die in those 5-10 minutes. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says that's terrible. Hashol hareiz a shevir adamim. Then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the next line in the Yerushalmi, Hanishal, the rabbi to whom they ask the issue, is hareiz a Hareza Miguna. Anishal Hareza Miguna. The rabbi to whom they asked the Shaila, it's very improper on his part. What's his Eshulik if this stupid person came and they asked him the Shaila? So the Mishnah Berurah explains over there and said, Gotten Rav. The rabbi should have explained from day number one, that should have been his first sermon in Shul, his first shiur should have been in Bat Pikuach Nefesh, that whenever this is suffix Sakana, you have to be Mechal Shabbos, and you have to eat the treifis, and whatever is necessary to take care of the suffix Sakana, you have to take care of. So the fact that people are asking the rabbi the Shaila, I remember once, now we have our own sukkah, but when we first got married, we used to eat in the community sukkah and broil shul. So I remember there was a boy who was learning in the Kollel in YU. He was eating in the sukkah. So he went over to Rabbi Schwab, and he asked Rabbi Schwab, he has a little baby who seems to be very, very sick. Is he allowed to drive the baby to the hospital on Yom Tov? So Rabbi Schwab got angry at him. He said, go right now, immediately. So then after the boy ran, so he said, this over this Mishnah Berurah, it says in Yerushalmi, Anishal, Harei Zeh Meguna. He's considered Meguna because the young man asked him the Shaila, is there Shuldik? The boy didn't know. He says, because it says in the Mishnah Berurah, he should have been Mefarsam, but didn't. Everybody should know that this rabbi's position is whenever there's any suffix sakana, a sfek sfeika, a suffix sakana, you have to do what's necessary. A suffix sakana is derech Shabbos, derech kala Torah kula. Sometimes, Shmita Zateis, this is that even, let's say, if a Nochri holds a gun to my head, and he says, if I don't strike a match on Shabbos to be Mechal Shabbos, he's going to shoot me, he's going to kill me. So if it's Bifrah Hesya, or if it's Bishas Hashmad, and he's Miskaven Nahaviri Aladas, he knows that part of the Jewish religion is that you don't light a fire on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and he wants to cause me to violate my religion, so then the din is Taka Yehari Mal Yavar. But if it's neither Bishas Hashmad, No, it is not Zeres HaMalchus against observing the Jewish religion. Under the communists, there was Mamash and Shas HaShmad. So if there's no Zeres HaShmad, and it's not Befetch, if not Befetch or Mizrach, so the din is that that Pikoch Nefesh is Dech HaShem. So what if a person wants to be Machmir? The Nochri is holding a gun to my head, and I'm going to say, I'm not going to strike a match on Shabbos, even if you kill me. So that's a big machlokes, the Rambam and Tosfos. So the Rambam's opinion is that it's considered as if the person committed suicide. You're not allowed to be machmir, alatz mecha, not to be mechal Shabbos. If the din is that pikuach nefesh is doicheh, you have to violate the aver and save your life. And if you decided not to violate the aver and to lose your life, so it's considered, you are fault, you did an aver, it's considered equivalent to committing suicide. And the Baalei HaTosfos were not so committed. The Baalei HaTosfos had rise from the Gemara, that would appear that even in a case where there is no din of Yehoreg Bal Yavar, but still, the din should have been Pikoach Nefesh is Decha, but if a person wants to act out of Midas Chassidus, not to violate Shabbos, even though there is a Pikoach Nefesh, so Tavo Ala Bracha, there is such a Midas Chassidus, and the Rishonim all spell out, that's only if there's an Anos, if there's a Nochri who's threatening to kill me, unless I'll be Mechal Shabbos. He's miskaben ha'avimi al adas. He wants me to compromise my religious observance. But if it's just that I got sick, there is no anas. There is no nofri anas. I'm just sick. And the only way to get better is to drive to the hospital. So then all the Rishonim agree that there's no midas chassidus at all. And they quote, there's one of the Rishonim was known as the Rakanti, Ramanachim Rakanti. So the Rakanti quotes a story that on one occasion, one of the Baalei HaTosfos was deadly sick on Erev Yom Kippur, and the doctor said, if he fasts on Yom Kippur, for sure he will die. And if he eats on Yom Kippur, there's a far-out chance that maybe he will survive. There's a chance. But if he doesn't eat, for sure he's going to die. And if he does eat, it's not so sure that he will survive. There's a chance that he will survive. So this Baalei HaTosfos decided, Ein Sofik Meitzei Midei Vadai. He knows for sure you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. It's only a suffix whether eating on Yom Kippur will save his life or not. So he decided on his own he's not going to eat on Yom Kippur. And lo and behold, he died, as the doctors predicted. If he will fast on Yom Kippur, he would definitely not survive. So all the Baalei HaTosfos were angry. They said he did wrong. He did shaloi kedin. So the Rakanti quotes that. So they're trying to make sense. They try to knock sense into what was the Baalei HaTosfos thinking. Well, but whatever he was thinking was wrong. The halacha says that the pikuach nefesh is Decha Shabbos, and as the Mishnah Berurah says, it's called Chasidus Shel Shtus. The last line in Siv Katan Vav, in Siv Mishin Chav Ches, he's quoting a Tshuvas HaRadvaz, that for a person to be Machmer Al Atzmai, even though he's sick, he doesn't want to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life, that's Chasidus Shel Shtus. There is no Shita like that. That's incorrect. You're not allowed to be Machmer. The Gemara says at the end of the first Perek in Ksubis, Leholcha b'pikuach nefesh sachar harov. Let's say a person has a bad condition. The likelihood is that even if they take him to the hospital, he's going to die anyway. The likelihood, the odds are that he's going to die even if they are Mechal Shabbos to take him. Or the odds are even if they wait till after Shabbos, he will not die. They'll be able to take care of it after Shabbos is over. So even though the Raif says that being Mechal Shabbos unnecessarily, so that's what the Gemara says, Leholcha b'pikuach nefoshes achar harov. You're not allowed to go bust the Raif and say he's going to die anyway, so you're not going to accomplish anything. Well, he's going to survive anyway, so don't drive to the hospital on Shabbos, wait till after Abdullah, and then drive to the hospital. You're not allowed to say that. Even if the Raif is that the Chilul Shabbos is not going to get you anywhere, Leholcha b'pikuach nefoshes achar harov. Even a Sfek Sveker, Rav Shimon Shkop, has in his Sefer Shari Yoshi, he talks a lot about Sfek Sveker, so he points out it's Befederish in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, even if there's a Sfek Sveker, you're also Mechal Shabbos, even though usually a Sfek Sveker is considered as if there's no Safik at all, still, Sfek Sveker, you are Mechal Shabbos, but Mokam Sakona. Yeah. Sometimes, let's say a person has an ingrown toenail. So how often does anybody die once out of a million cases? A person would die from an ingrown toenail. So that's pretty far-fetched. So if it seems to be a mild condition, if it's so far-fetched that the odds are elef alfei alafim, so then the Chassam says that that's not an application, that's not a correct application of the din le'hocho b'bikuch nefashas achar harayim. It's such an overwhelming raiv, one chance in a million, that by driving to the hospital you're going to save his life. So you tell him, take a tranquil, take a pill, and take it easy, relax. That's not called the suffix sakon. Once in a million, it's not called the sakon. What if it's, let's say now, like this corona disease, it's nowhere near 50-50. So some people are annoyed with wearing the masks, and they say, look, the odds are highly unlikely that I'm going to get sick, because hardly anybody's getting sick now, so he doesn't want to wear a mask. He doesn't want to do the distancing. So do you have a right to say that? So the Gemara says there is a pasuk in Tehillim that we recite in the Pesuk of the Zimran Sham, B'Shaymer P'Soyim Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the fools who are not careful about their health. So when does that pasuk apply? That's that guy's going to jump off from the top roof of the Empire State Building and say, look, man, no hands, and he's going to say, Shamer P'Soyim Hashem. That's suicide. He just committed suicide. You're not allowed to say like that. So Reb Chaim Moshe has a tshuva where he quotes several major poskim before his time who all wrote the same pshat. The case in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, where the Gemara applies that din, Shem Reb Chaim Hashem, is there's a suffix sak on it, and the odds are the rive, it's a very strong rive, nowhere near 50-50, very strong rive, that there's no suffix sak on it today. So then it depends on each person individually. So for the person who's nervous, it is considered a suffix sakana. For the person who's not nervous, then for him it's not considered a suffix sakana. Then you say Shem Rebsayim Hashem. So you can't be angry at the person. Let's say person comes to shul without he wants to come to shul without a mask. Can't be angry at him. He personally is not nervous. But since the other people, if there's one person in shul who is nervous, then it's considered a suffix sakana for everybody. So then even those who are not nervous, they have to put on a mask and they have to have the social distancing because of those who are nervous. Those who are nervous, even though it's a far-fetched chashash, nowhere near 50-50, for those who are nervous, it's considered a suffix sakana. For those who are not nervous, not considered suffix sakana. There's a Rashi on Chulish, and the Pasuk in Parshas Rezois HaBracha, when Moshe Rabbeinu gives the bracha to shave at Levi, so he says, Rizcha Yintzoru, that shave at Levi was careful to observe the mitzvah of Bris Milah. What is that referring to? The rest of the Jewish people didn't observe the Bris Milah. So this is a Gemara in Perika Oril in Yevamis. Most of the dinim of Bris Milah appear in Masech Shabbos. There are 24 prokim in Shabbos, so there's one whole Perika about Rav Lezer de Milah. But some of the dinim are scattered about in Shas. So one of the places you'll find some of the extra dinim is Perika Oril in Stats and Dafayin, I think, in Yevamos. So in Perika Oril, the Gemara has this story that when the Bnei Yisrael were traveling in the Midbar, the 40 years traveling in the Midbar, then they entered Eretz on the days of Yishur Benun. So the weather conditions were such that it was a slight suffix sakana to perform a bismillah. It was considered a suffix sakana on the baby. So what do you do? So all the other shvatim chose not to do a bismillah at all. Except for Shevet Levi, they did perform bismillah. So the Chassam Sefer and the Chuvis is bothered with a Peladik Akasha. They had an Orthodox rabbi in their midst, Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu have to say about this? Either the rest of the shvatim are doing right at the suffix sakana, so you should have complained to Shevet Levi that they're not allowed to be machmer to do a bris milah, they're putting the baby in the sakana. And if the sakana was so far-fetched, it was so ridiculous, so he should have been upset about the rest of the shvatim. He should have given all the other shvatim to chacha. He should not perform bris milah. There's one chance in a million that someone's going to get sick and die. So that's not called a suffix sakana. Echamini elef alfei alafim, that's not a suffix sakana. So the Chassam Sefer gives a difficult answer. But the Pashtus is the way the Reb Chaim Moshe explained in his tshuva, that's probably the pshat in the Gemara. The weather conditions were such that there was a far-fetched suffix sakana if you'll perform surgery. If you'll perform a bris milah on a baby in the midbar, because of the weather conditions, there's a far-fetched suffix sakana. So what is the din? If nowhere near 50-50, what is the din? Is it considered suffix sakana or not? So then we say depends for each person individually. For those who are concerned, those who are nervous, for them it's considered suffix sakana. Those who are not nervous, it's not considered a suffix sakana. That's how they, so Dr. Shaded Lady did write, they were not concerned. And the Esther the Shortam also did write, they were concerned. They have the story in the biography of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish moved to Eretz Yisrael, I think, in 1933. Rav Kook was still alive, and he was there when the Nazis, at the beginning of the war, he was already in Eretz Yisrael. So there was a period of time where the Nazis wanted to take over Palestine, because Eretz Yisrael is right in the, is the link connecting the three continents. It connects Europe, Asia, and Africa, and it's a crucial, whoever has control of Palestine has a better hand in winning a war, if you're going to have war with the whole world. So the Nazis were dropping bombs in Eretz Yisrael, and they would only come to drop bombs at nighttime. In the daytime, the British would be able to shoot down the planes. But nighttime, it's dark, so they couldn't. You can't see where the planes are, so you can't shoot them down. But the problem is that planes don't know where the city is, so they can only identify the city because the people leave the lights on. So whenever the British heard that whenever they realized that the Nazis wanted to drop some bombs there, so they would ring a siren, and everybody knew that you have to turn out the lights. And if you don't turn out the lights, they may identify where the city is and drop the bomb. I remember as a little child, we lived in Pennsylvania during the war. I was born in Pennsylvania. So I remember we used to have practice sirens. The Nazis weren't anywhere near America, but they would practice. When the siren went off, you had to turn off all the lights. Every so often, the siren would go off on a Friday night. And my father was an Orthodox rabbi, so he wouldn't turn off the lights. So the police would give you a penalty. So all three times the police knocked on the door and they said, you're going to give my father a penalty. So he explained that he's an Orthodox rabbi. We're not permitted to turn off the lights. If there would be a real suffix, he certainly would turn them off. But because it's only practicing, he's not allowed to. So once he got away with it, and the other two times, three times it happened on a Leil Shabbos, the other two times he had to pay the fine, because the police didn't go for that explanation. So I remember I remember in the middle of the week, we turned off all the lights, and we just had a little radio was on. I remember there was a green light on the radio. It was a little child, I remember, a green light on the radio. And it was dark in the whole house. So they asked the Chazon Ish and Shaila, if they hear faintly, if the people in a little village hear the siren very faintly from a distant location, they don't know where, on Friday night, is that considered a suffix sakana? Enough of a suffix sakana to tell everybody they have to turn out the lights? Well, no, maybe that's not enough of a suffix sakana, because the British didn't, it's not close to you, it's very far away. Maybe there's no suffix sakana. So the Esther Chazon Ish, the Shaila, because he already had moved to Eretz Yisrael in 33. So he told over a story from the Chafetz Chaim. And once the Chafetz Chaim visited, I think, the city lodge, and people were visiting him a whole day and asking him Eitzes and Shilas. So two people came an hour or two apart from each other with the exact same Shila. They were Shomer Shabbos, and they hardly made a living. And because they hardly made a living, they couldn't put away any money in savings. And if they would be Mechal Shabbos, they would be able to put away money in the savings. And now the question is, we know that the Nazis are building up anti-Semitism, and the day may come that they'll have to run for their lives, and they don't even have any money in savings that they'll be able to buy a train ticket, that they'll be able to save their lives. Is that considered suffix sakana? That is the Shabbos. Are they permitted to switch jobs, to take a job to be Mechal Shabbos, in order to put the extra money away in a savings account, that they should be able to take a train to save their lives? So the Chazon Ish is the first one. Do you personally think that there's a chance that this may save your life? So he said, yeah, he thinks it's ridiculous. His friends are telling him he should ask, but he thinks it's ridiculous. He doesn't think it's lo mal ol amar. So the Chafetz Chaim told him, if that's the case, you personally are not nervous, then it's not called the suffix sakana. And the second person who came an hour or two later, asked the exact same shaila. So the Chafetz Chaim asked him, do you personally think that that may save your life? He said, yes. He thinks if he has extra money in a savings account, that may save his life. So he said, and for you, it's called the Safek Sakana. That's exactly what Rabbi Chaim Isaac said. That's what he quoted from the major poskim, that when you have a Safek that's nowhere near 50-50, it was highly unlikely that by either they're going to kill you or they're not going to kill you. It's highly unlikely that by taking a job to Mechallel Shabbos, you'll be able to save up money, and then maybe you'll be able to buy a train ticket and time in to save your life. It's highly unlikely. But if the person really thinks that there's a chance that that may, if he personally is nervous about that, and he thinks that may save his life, then for him it's called the Safek Sakana. But for the one who doesn't think that that's going to help them, then it's not called the Safek Sakana. Now, Moshe Feinstein has tshuvas, he doesn't agree with this. He doesn't agree, but Rabbi Chaim Isaac quotes this from major poskim from before his time. That's the klal. Shem Epsoyim Hashem applies when the suffix sakon is nowhere near 50-50. Moshe thinks that it shouldn't make a difference whether it's a real suffix sakana or less. Yeah, so what did the Chazanish say over here? So they don't give you the end of the story. Pashta says the end of the psak was like this. If one person in the village is nervous because he hears faintly from a distance the siren going off many miles away, if one person is nervous, then everybody in the village is worried to turn off the lights on Friday night. You don't say the ones who are nervous should turn off the lights, the ones who are not nervous don't have to turn off the light. That's ridiculous. If some of the people are going to leave the lights on, so then for those who are nervous, it's a suffix sakana. So the same over here. If there's one person in shul who's nervous about this coronavirus, and he's mocked that he wants to have the distancing and the masks, so then everyone in the shul is mechuyev to observe the distancing and the masks. If no one is concerned, all the people in the shul, none of them are concerned. Okay, then you apply Shem Epsayim Hashem. But the Pashto says that we should be concerned, but we're not such big tzaddikim that we should rely on our own zechusim. In 1831, they write that there was a cholera epidemic going around in Europe. Rabbi Gevega lived in Posen. That was under Prussia. And he insisted that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when the shul is packed, he insisted every other seat has to be empty. You can't have people sitting next to each other. Now they say not only every other seat, you have to be 6 feet apart. Okay. Days of Rebbe Kivega, they didn't know about that 6 feet apart. So he insisted the people with the even numbers, every seat had a number. So he said, people with the even number seats should come on Rosh Hashanah, people with the odd number seats come on Yom Kippur. Whoever comes to Shul Yom Kippur, not allowed to come on Rosh Hashanah. Whoever comes to Rosh Hashanah, not allowed to come on Yom Kippur, because there's simply every other seat had to be empty. And then he didn't want the people to stay together for too long. The longer you are together, so the more of a concern there is that you'll transmit the infection to other people. If someone has it, they'll transmit it. So he wrote up all the takonis, and there was a big Talmud Chacham who just passed away a couple of years ago, Anosin Gishtetna. He lived in Bnei Brak. He was a descendant of Rabbi Kivega, and he published many svarim, all learning, strong learning, Shuvas and Biurim and Gemara, very good svarim. So he published also the Biske Halacha of Rabbi Kiveger on the occasion of the cholera epidemic, that Rabbi Kiveger said they should leave out all the piyutim and no chazones, and they should abridge the davening. I don't know, some people feel that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur without the piyutim is nishgid davening, but that was Rabbi Kiveger said. Rabbi Kiveger said you have to leave out all of the piyutim, because the longer the people are together, so the more chashash sakana there is. You have to be concerned about the chashash sakana. So these are the dinim that are discussed in Siman Shin Chav Ches. What's considered a suffix sakana? So in the days of the Gemara, they had the medicine keeps on advancing. In the days of the Gemara, they considered certain things suffix sakana, which later on, not in the days of the Gemara, many things were not considered suffix sakana, and later they came to the realization that they are. For example, in the days of the Gemara, if you would have to do a bris milah on a baby boy, you would bathe the baby with warm water before the bris and after the bris to prevent infection. And if you already did the bris and you had no hot water, then if need be, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to cook water in order to bathe the baby, because it's considered a real mamish sefek sakana. And if you don't have hot water, you don't do the bris in the first place. If you don't have that, samach lelikis, balamor, and the Ramban, I know in advance I only have enough warm water to bathe the baby. Before the bris, I don't have enough water to bathe the baby after the bris. So we pass on the shulchan, you don't do the bris, you postpone the bris till Sunday, you don't do the bris. If you went ahead and you did the bris, and then you realize that you don't have any warm water to bathe the baby afterwards to prevent infection, so you get an ochri to cook water. If you can't get an ochri, you're allowed to cook the water yourself. That's considered a real suffix upon. So that's in the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in the 1500s, middle of the 1500s in Tzfat, so he says the hygienic conditions are so much better, I don't know, in Tzfat in the 1500s than they were in the days of the Gemara. So he says, now we no longer bathe the babies with warm water. Not before the bris, not after the bris. It's no longer considered a suffix sakana. There are things that in the days of the Gemara, they were considered suffix sakana. As Mahana said, they're not. And there are things fakir. In the days of the Gemara were not considered suffix sakana. Today we know that they are suffix sakana. Moshe, the Gemara says, if you have meat and fish cooked together, that's a suffix sakana if you eat it. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach points out, if the meat and the fish were each cooked separately, you're eating them together, that's not a suffix sakana. Suffix sakana is only if they were cooked together. Then it's a suffix sakana. And then the Magen Avraham has a comment in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim. There's one siman, I think it's Kuf Nun Vav, where there's Magen Avraham quotes a whole bunch of miscellaneous inyanim that don't appear in Shulchan Aruch at all. So he has a discussion about all these miscellanea. So he says about the meat and the fish, he thinks it's already so many centuries that so many people, so many nochem are eating fish and meat that are cooked together. No one's getting tzaraas. The Gemara considers it a suffix sakana. You may develop tzaraas. The Magen Avraham thinks that it doesn't apply anymore. We should always do like the Tanaim. We should follow the doctors of our generation. So the doctors of our generation don't see any suffix sakana, even if the meat and the fish are cooked together. And in Yerideya, the beginning of the second Chelik Yerideya, there's a whole simon about things that you're not allowed to do because of suffix sakana. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that about the fish and the meat that were cooked together, you shouldn't eat it because you may develop tzaraas. So there the Pesachei Tshuva on the bottom of the page quotes from the Chasam Sofer, who writes that the Rambam was a medical doctor. And the Rambam was a doctor.
Hello.
And the Rambam left out this Gemara about the fish and the meat together. So we really assume that we should follow the doctors of our generation. Just like the Tanai followed the doctors of their generation, we should follow the doctors of our generation. I started to mention the Chasam Sofer is quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva in the beginning of the second Chelik in Rideya. There's a siman there about one has to be careful not to do things that are suffix sakana. So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Chasam Sofer, writes that the Rambam was a doctor, and according to the medical knowledge in the days of the Rambam, if the fish is cooked with the meat, there's no suffix sakana. But that's why the Rambam left out that din from the Gemara, because we don't follow the Gemara. When it comes to medicine, we follow the doctors of our generation. And that's what the Magen Avraham also says. He doesn't think that it should apply to Zman HaZeh. But then they quote the Nadi Behuda. Nadi Behuda was before the Chasam Sofer. Nadi Behuda was in the 1700s. Chasam Sofer was in the 1800s. So Nadi Behuda says, we're still not so convinced that the din and the Gemara doesn't apply. Maybe it still is a suffix sakana. That's why the people today are still careful. The women are very super careful not to have fish and meat. They won't even serve the two together. Yeah. So that's an important siman. Shin Chat Ches, a very important siman. Shulchan Aruch divides all of the sick people into four categories. You have a bari with a mechesh bi'alma. A person is basically healthy, has aches and pains, slight ache and pain that doesn't really prevent them from functioning normally. It's just a nuisance. It's just a little annoying. So then, not only are there no kulas, there's even a chumrah, that you're not allowed to take any medication. not allowed to take any medicine. Why? Because in the days of the Gemara, when people would prepare medication, they'd usually grind up some herbs. So to grind up herbs is a malacha of tochen. So to gzeir Hashem yishachik samaman. So it's also to take medication. Not only if the medication is an herbal medication that you may forget and grind it up on Shabbos, even let's say a person has a bellyache and uses a hot water bottle. He uses a rubber container that has hot water, he puts it on his belly. So there's nothing to grind up. You can't grind up the water. Still, the Gemara says, b'feinish, that's an isa refuah b'shabbos. You're not allowed to do refuah b'shabbos. If it's refuah hanikeres, if it's noticeable, let's say some people like to drink schnapps all the time. Other people, I only drink schnapps when I have a cold. I don't enjoy schnapps. I don't understand why anybody enjoys schnapps. But since a lot of people drink schnapps, I say a bracha. When I drink the schnapps also, I say a bracha. If I'm sick, I'm allowed to take schnapps. Even though for me, it's a dead giveaway that I'm sick and I'm taking the schnapps because I have a cold. But for other people, since it's a Michael Brian, so that's not included in the Yisra Refuah. Some are of the opinion that taking an aspirin on Shabbos, they've told me Rav Soloveitchik thought like this, many others think like that, that today, so many people take an aspirin every day, even if they're not sick, so maybe aspirins have become a Michael Green. Okay, maybe. So whenever you have a Michael Green, a refuah is only us if it's refuah and he cares. If it's obvious, that is a shame refuah. If it's not obvious, then if he's taking shots or something like that, then there's no Easter refuah. So that's the first category. The bari with the mechaj bi'alma, that there's an Easter refuah. If the person is a choyle she'en bo sakana, the Ramah gives you a definition. Person means he has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. Let's say he has such a splitting headache that he has to lay in bed, or he has the flu, he doesn't feel well, he can't walk around, he has to lay in bed. So that's called the Chayla Shem Sakona. So the Gemara has different kulas. So one kula is Amira Lenachri is Mutta, to ask a Nachri to drive me to the hospital. To ask a Nachri to do a real malacha deraisa. Amir the Nachri is mutter for Chol Hashem Misakana. What else? The Magen Avraham quotes from the Issa the Heter, from the Rabbeinu Yonah, that let's say the doctor, the Goyisha doctor comes, and he looks at the patient and he says he needs a prescription. So the Goyisha doctor says, could you please give me a pen and I'll write the prescription for you. So tell the doctor, but it's Mukta, I can't handle a pen. Pen is in the drawer. So if he's a touchy doctor, he may say, if you don't give me the pen, I'm leaving. Goodbye. So if I won't be metalfal mukta, he's not going to write the prescription. So the Magen Avraham quotes from Yisrael that tiltal mukta is mutter b'makam chodeshei misakana. Just like Amir al-Nachri is mutter, so tiltal mukta is also mutter. What else is mutter? So the Gemara has a case, let's say a person is sick, he's very sick, and we know if he needs a good night's sleep. And he can't fall asleep, he has insomnia. So I know if I play soft music, I'll be able to put him to sleep. So the Gemara says, usually we're not permitted to play a musical instrument on Shabbos. That's Gzeir Derabbanan. Gzeir Shemi Yisakin play Shir. He may be playing the piano and he'll realize that it's off key and he may fix it. He may fix the piano, he may fix the guitar, he may fix the violin. So that's a Malacha Misakin Manan. So they prohibited playing any musical instrument on Shabbos Yontu, Zer Shem Yisakim Klei Shir. So it says in the Gemara, it's the Gemara in the end of Erevin, if the Chayla She'em B'Sakon, and the doctors say what he needs is a good night's sleep and he can't fall asleep, so you're permitted to play soft music to help him fall asleep. What's the Tara Shavah? What do all four things have in common? Amira L'Nachri, and then also the Achrayim say to take refuah. The Mishnah Berurah Paskens like this. If a person is a bari with a mechash bialma, he has a slight ache and pain, then he's not allowed to take medication. Then there's a gzera, you're not allowed to take refuah. Gzera shem yishachik salamana. But if he's a chole shem basakana, then we do permit him to take medication, provided there's no malacha involved. If he's going to have to shmir a salve on his body, that's a malacha memareach. Memareach is a told of memachik, to make a new smooth surface. But if he's not going to smear anything, just to swallow a pill, some kind of a complicated medication in a pill form, that's an Issa Refuah. So the Mishnah Berurah, Paskens Halacha, that all Refuah is Mutter, The Mishkan is Yankiv, Paskin's not so. Mishkan is Yankiv, has a Gemara where it's Sip Boshab Shad, the Gemara is, you're only allowed to take a Refu on Shabbat Yantiv if the fellow is a Chodesh Yesh Bo Sakana. But the Mishnah Berurah doesn't even quote that opinion. He just, you know, Mishnah Berurah usually does quote things from the Mishkan is Yankiv. This one he totally ignores. And he Paskin's Aloche, all of these schools, the Chodesh Yesh Bo Sakana, that we allow Amir Lenachri. Also, we would allow, let's say a person needs, he's not well, and the doctors say what he needs a good hot bath. If he gets a hot bath, then he'll get better. But you're not allowed to turn on the hot water, so you're permitted to ask the goy to turn on the hot water. All right, so Amir Lenachri is mutter for Chodesh HaMisakana, but then there's Exer de Rabbanon, or Vechitza Bechamin. The Chachamin prohibited, even if you filled up the bathtub with hot water on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to take the bath on Shabbos, Vechitza Bechamin. Is also on Shabbos. How can the choyla go into the bathtub? So Rabbi Kibager explains, because bathing, taking a hot bath on Shabbos, it's a gzera. It's known as gzera's habalonim. In the days of the Gemara, the people didn't have a private bath in every home. They had a public bathhouse, and the bathhouse attendants were not the most religious Jewish people. The balonim are not the most observant people. So the Jews would come Shabbos afternoon to take a hot bath or to take a schwitz, and the balon would put on the fire on Shabbos. And when the Jews would come, they would ask him, when did you put the fire on? He would tell them a lie, say, oh, the fire was on since Erev Shabbos. He was not Mechal Shabbos. So the Tanaim saw that they're being Mechal Shabbos and they're fooling the public. So they made a prohibition. You're not allowed to bathe, not allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos. So many Sfaradish Poskim Paskin, that Gezeres HaBalanim only applies if you're going to take a hot bath in the public bathhouse. But if you're going to take a hot bath in your own home, that's permissible. You're not a Balon. The Balanim were Chashudim on Chilul Shabbos. But if you know that you're a Shem Shabbos, there's no Gezer at all. Somehow the Ashkenazim didn't accept that distinction. So by the Ashkenazim, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't even mention such a possibility at all. He assumes that we assume, all the Ashkenazim assume, that to take a hot bath is also on Shabbos, even if you didn't do the melacha of heating up the water on Shabbos. Let's say you filled up the bathtub on Erev Shabbos with burning hot water, and by the time you want to take the bath, it's going to be lukewarm. So we assume that there's a gzeiras habalonim. So Rabbi Kedeger asks, if the patient is sick, and the doctors say that he doesn't feel well, and he can't function well, so the doctors say what he needs is a good hot bath and to go to sleep. So what does it help you ask the goy to fill up the bathtub with the hot water? I mean, when the is mutter, on behalf of the choyle she'em sakana, but then how's the Jewish patient going to take the hot bath? There's a gzeres habalani. Rabbi Kedeger says, no, since it's only a gzere, so all the gzeres are mutter for choyle she'em sakana. So all of these, that's what they all have in common. To play the musical instrument, to play the piano with soft music so that the patient should be able to fall asleep, that's a gzere. Shemi is stuck in Kleshir. It's not even a Malacha Midirabana. If you'll fix the piano, that'll be a Malacha Misakan Mona. But to say you're not allowed to play the piano because it may lead you may forget and fix the piano and put it in tune, that's Xera. So whatever, Amir Lanachri is Xera. It's not that I did a Malacha, it's Xera. If I'll ask the Nachri to do a Malacha for me, next thing you know is that I'll forget and I'll do the Malacha myself. So whatever is only a gzera, you have to know what's a gzera. We'll have to learn that. What's a gzera derabbanan and what's a malachma derabbanan? A lot of things are malachas deraisa. And then the things that are forbidden midirabbanan, some of them are considered a malachma derabbanan, some of them are considered a gzera midirabbanan. So whatever is only a gzera, like playing the piano is mashmiya kol, or amira lenachri is a gzera, refuah bishabbos is a gzera, shema yishachik samamanim. And tilta muktzah is exera derabban and shema yotzi. You're not allowed to handle muktzah because of the exera that you may forget and carry it in the street. So all the, or taking a hot bath on Shabbos is known as exera sabalonim. So whatever is only exera, you're permitted to do on behalf of a chodesh ein bo sakana. Chodesh ein bo sakana means a person who has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. Then the Ramah writes in that siman that by little children, let's say the little baby wants his bottle. Doesn't get his bottle, he's going to scream his head off. There's nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. But if the child, he has a condition that we call babyhood, he's a baby. And the baby, when he's missing his bottle, he can't function normally. Usually he plays with his toys or he fights with his siblings, and now he can't do either. Now he's crying his head off. It's ridiculous, but that's for babies, that's the way they function. So tzorchei hatinok, like whenever it's a young child and he just needs a bottle of milk, that's all, that's already considered like v'chol l'shem b'sakana. That's based on the Gemara in Perek Kira. So the Rama quotes that from the Rabbeinu Yerucham, that tzorchei hatinok is considered always like v'chol l'shem b'sakana. So whatever kulis you have, amir l'nachar is mutter, whatever kulis you have for v'chol l'shem b'sakana would apply for a tinoi. So a lot of the recent posts can quote the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss from the Eilech HaRedes, wrote many volumes of Tshuvas of the Minchas Yitzchak. So they all quote him as saying, up until what age is the child considered a tinoi? That you say, Tzorchei HaTinoi are considered like a Chol L'Shem B'Sakana. So he says, up until the age of 8, where did he get the magical gematria of 8? Where does that come from? So he quotes a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that Al Pi Pashtus is totally out of context, has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Rishalmi has in the end of Yuma that on Yom Kippur you should be mechanach children to fast. On Tisha B'Av and Asar B'Tevis, you're not mechanach the children to fast. Even if it's the day before his bar mitzvah, he doesn't have to fast. But on Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah to fast, so you should be mechanach the children. So when does the chinuch begin? So it begins if the child is healthy. Sometimes the children are not up to it psychologically, sometimes they're not up to it physically. But let's say the child is healthy, you know, no psychological problems, no physical problems, he's okay. So 2 years before Bar Mitzvah, he should fast the whole day long on Yom Kippur. 2 years before, 2 years before, you should train him to fast a half a day. But before that, before the age of 8, it's a suffix sakona. So even if the child wants to fast on his own, the parent should not let him fast. So that's where he got the age 8. But that's about a suffix sakana. That's a different thing. We're not talking about a suffix sakana. I'm talking when are the tzorchei hatinok? How young, how old should the child be that you should consider the child as a chol l'shem sakana if he needs something? So you say till the age of 8. So I think it's a guzma. A child 7 years old has got to scream his head off when he doesn't have food. I don't think so. He'll suffer long and wait till they bring the food. You don't have to be matar amir l'nachri. He'll be able to function well. I think the age of 8, I think it's incorrect. So that's the cloud. For Chol She'im B'Sakana, we allow all the Rabbanans that are only Exera. If something is a Melachim in the Rabbanan, we are not Nekel. If something is only Exera, then we do allow it. The Shulchan Aruch has later on, I think it's Sif Tes, is it? Sif Yud Zayin. Sif Yutayim, Sinashim Chavches Sif Yutayim. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes several different opinions, and then he says, V'divi Hasvara Hashlish is Nirit. We should pass like the third opinion. The third opinion is the Ramban, and this is what the Ramban said. This distinction between a Melochim and the Rabbanon and Exerim and the Rabban. And then you have the four categories of people who are sick on Shabbos. So the first category is a body with a Mechaj B'Alma, person has just a slight ache and pain, which really is annoying, but it doesn't prevent them from functioning. So then not only do you not have any kulis, then you have the chumra, that there's a gzer the rabban, you're not permitted to apply medications. Gzer yishem yishachik samamanim. It even applies to a hot water bottle, but there's nothing to grind up. It's a leplug rabban. Then the second level of a chola is a chola she'im b'sakana, one who has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. So then we say that we are mekel, you're permitted to violate all the rabbanas that are only exeret. If something is a melachim of the rabban, then we don't allow it. If it's only exeret the rabbanan, then we would allow it for the chole she'em b'sakana. Then you have a sarkana saver. What if a person has a situation, he may lose the use of a limb? He may use, let's say, he was in an automobile crash or something, and if they don't sew his finger back on today, on Shabbos, he'll lose the use of that, he'll lose a whole finger, he'll lose a whole limb. One of the Evorim doesn't function. So whenever there's Sakana Saver, so we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that that's not called Pikuach Nefesh, only a loss of life. Possible loss of a limb is not called Sakana Nefashis, but because of loss of a limb, one can violate all the Rabbanans. All the Rabbanans are Mutta. And if you have a Chodesh She'esh B'Sakana, even a Svek Svek of the Sakana, even very far-fetched, even though the Rav is that there's no Sakana, but L'Hocha Pikuach Nefashis Achar, right? whenever there's the slightest suffix sakana, unless it's absolutely unreasonable, echemini elef alfei alofim, that's not called the suffix sakana. But if there's a far-fetched suffix sakana and the person is nervous about it, then you're allowed an you're permitted and obligated to be mechal Shabbos to save the person's life. Then, well, let's say a person needs surgery on Shabbos. So when you do the surgery, so you save the person's life. Now the question is when you sew them up. So if it would have been the weekdays, that you would have done a full job. You would have done everything you're supposed to do. On Shabbos, are you allowed to do the whole job? Or do you say just allowed to do what's essential to save his life? And after that, you're not allowed to do any more. You should do the rest after Shabbos is over. So that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. So the Magen Mishnah comments on the Rambam. He gets a line from the Rambam. Whenever you're dealing with a chole sheyesh bo sakana, you take care of kol tzarachov. Not only are you permitted and obligated to be mechal Shabbos to do what's necessary to save his life, you're permitted to do whatever you would have done on a regular weekday. Kol tzarachov, whatever is normal. And the Mishnah Berurah has a big attack, and the Bir Halacha has a big attack against this. He thinks that it's against many different Gemaras, and he says we shouldn't follow. Mishnah Berurah is usually Machmer on all issues, usually on the Machmer side. So he thinks we should be Machmer on this. We should not allow Kol Tzarachov. He says he would allow Kol Tzarachov to violate Dinim Derabon, but not to violate the Malacha Deraisa. And this is famous. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was Mekel on this. That a chole sheyesh b'sakana on Shabbos, not only are you allowed and obligated to be mechal Shabbos to the extent to save his life, you have to do kol tzarachov. The same is true regarding eating on Yom Kippur. Let's say you have a person, an older person, a weak person, he's not sick, but if he's going to fast on Yom Kippur, he may become sick. So then we say, machilim also pochas pochas mikashir. Why should you allow him to eat the whole meal? Let him eat less than a shir. Pachas mikashir is an isa deraisa, but there's no karis on it. So it's a lesser avera. So you should eat a little bit, wait a few minutes, eat a little bit, wait a few minutes. He will have eaten a ton of food on Yom Kippur, but he only violated the isa of chatzi shir. He didn't violate the shir shalom. So whenever you violate a chatzi shir, that's called machila mosa hakala kalchila. The Gemara has a whole discussion. Let's say a person is besakana, he has to eat some food or he's going to die. He needs some nutrition. He has a choice. He can either eat nevela, or he can eat tevel. So tevel is misa b'dei shamayim, and nevela is only malchus. Or he can eat the nevela, or he can eat chelev. So chelev has an isakaris, and nevela has no karis. So the Gemara says, machilim osa hakala kalchili, you violate the lesser avera. If you can save the person's life by violating a lesser avera, so you have no heter to violate the greater avera. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said the tradition in Balojim was like that. It didn't begin with Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. This was a psak ha-mekubal from the days of Reb Chaim Balojim, who founded the Balojim Yeshiva in 1801 or something like that. He was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. And this was Father Rav Kook learned in Balojim at the same time that Reb Chaim was there. He didn't learn by Reb Chaim. He learned by the Netziv. And the Netziv said when he came to Balojim, before his Bar Mitzvah. So when he came to Balojin, that was the Psak HaMekubal, the Nachlas David was still alive. Nachlas David said that was the Psak from Reb Chaim Balojin, that when a person already is a Chole Mesukan, let's say a person had cancer, and then he's recovering from the cancer, and the doctor said he must eat on Yom Kippur in order to recover. So he already is a Chole Sheyesh B'Sakana. You try to pull him out from the Sakana, then you let him eat normal meals. You don't tell him to eat Pachas Pachas B'Kashir. But if he's an older person, he's not sick, we're just afraid. He's going to fast the whole day. He may get sick, so then you tell him to eat pachas pachas mikashir. Truth of the matter is, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, it says in the Mishnah Berurah also, but people always skip that line in the Mishnah Berurah, in Hilchos Yom Kippur. But this psak says in the Mishnah Berurah also the difference between a person who really is a chole sheyesh b'sakana and he's recovering, so then you tell him to eat kol tzarachim, tell him to eat normal meals. As opposed to a person who's still healthy, we're afraid he may get sick, he may fall into a sakana, then you say, let him eat pachas pachas b'kashir. Let him eat a chatz b'kashir, wait a few minutes and eat another chatz b'kashir, and so on. We'll have to continue with Hilchas Shabbos. There's a lot to discuss. Next week, B'nai Neder, I'd like to talk a little bit Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. And the week after, a little bit about Hilchas Yom Kippur. We will just close with a little bit on the Parsha San Shavua. And this week's Parsha, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing a Sefer Torah. The Medrash says that the word Torah appears 13 times, mentioned 13 times in the end of the Chumash. So it's a remiss to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing 13 Sefer Torah. He gave the 12 Sefer Torah to all the different Shvatim, and one he gave to Shevet Levi, and he told them, "Asam Tamos, b'tzalar amris Hashem ayisham b'cholayei." They should take the Sefer Azorah, the one Sefer Torah that he gave to the Shevet Levi. And Shevet Levi are always in the Beis Hamikdash, so they should take it and put it either in the Aron with the Luchos or on a shelf that was on the outside of the Aron. The Gemara in Bava Basra, in the first paragraph, is not sure exactly where they put Santa Moshe, the Tzadar Ambris Hashem. The Tzadar means inside the Aron or outside of the Aron. So what's the special status of the Sefer Azorah? So the Yalkut Shemaini says that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid in the future of Ziyufim, of forgeries, of misrepresenting what it says in the Torah. He was afraid that maybe scribes would make a mistake in copying the Sefer Torah, or maybe they would change the text of the Sefer Torah. So he told the Levian, "This is the Sefer Azorah, hold it in the Azorah, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Tzad HaRam Bris Hashem, and this is the official text of the Sefer Torah. If any Sefer comes up in the future generations, they should check with this Sefer Torah to see what the correct version should be in the Chumash." The Taisus in the first paragraph in Bava Basra quotes Rashi. I don't think we have this Rashi. There's a quote in the name of Rashi that in the Chumash you have right next to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing the Sefer Torah and he gave it to the Shevet Levi, and he said this is the Sefer Azorah. The next parasha is about Hakel, that every seventh year Chol HaMoed Sukkot is following Shnas HaShmitah, so they should lay in Hakel. Everyone should gather together. Doesn't have to be in the Beis Hamikdash. It says if everybody's Ola Regel, somewhere in Yerushalayim or near Yerushalayim, everybody's Ola Regel to Yerushalayim. So they should lay in Hakel. So the Tosis quotes in the name of Rashi from the Smichas HaPsukim. Rashi gets to understand that you're supposed to lay in Hakel from the Sefer Azorah. From the Sefer Azorah. The same thing Tosis quotes in the name of Rashi, the Kangodol on Yom Kippur, also lanes. Kangodol on Yom Kippur, it says in the Mishnah, when he gives the Soir HaMishtalech to the Ish Iti, he has to stand in the Azorah for over an hour till the Ish Iti was a Yil HaMidbar. The Ish Iti has to go further. The Ish Iti has to go 11 mil. That's going to take a few hours till he gets to the cliff and he pushes the Soir HaMishtalech over the cliff. That's going to be a long time. But the Kangodol has to wait the amount of time that it takes to go 3 mil in, till he gila midbar, till the Ishiti reaches the beginning of the midbar, and then the Kangodol is allowed to leave the Azorah. So what does he do at the end of that hour and 10 minutes when he leaves the Azorah? So he lanes Kriyas HaTorah. In Europe, there used to be communities where they had a practice, they would have the Dafka Hafsaka in between Musaf and Kriyas HaTorah for Mincha. There would be a Hafsaka of a little over an hour, Zechel HaMikdash. Because in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a long pause in between giving the Sor Hamshtalef to the Ishiti until he got to Tchilas HaMidbar, took 3 mil. A mil is 22 and a half minutes. Well, it says in Mishnah Berurah that a mil is 18 minutes. So Professor Leo Levy quotes in his book, Zmanei Hayom B'Halacha, he quotes that the Achronim say that the 18 minutes was on a different time system. It's not the same time system that we have. The way we have, that there is 60 minutes in an hour and 60 seconds in a minute, that 18 minutes really translates by us to be 22 and a half minutes. That's what that writing say. That when the Mishnah Berurah says 18 minutes, it's not on our system. So there was a minute in some communities that they would wait a whole hour. What was the Kriyas HaTorah all about? So they can go to Yom Kippur, that's a Kriyas HaTorah deraisa in connection with the Avodas Yom Kippur. He has to lane from Parshas Achrimois, then from Parshas Emor, and the length of Parshas Pinchas, all about the Hakrobas of Karbonis that are brought on Yom Kippur. That's a chelik of the Avodas Yom Kippur. So Tosis quotes also from Rashi that just like Hakel, from the Chumash, it sounds as if Hakel has to be leaning from the Sefer Hazara. So the Kohen Gadol leaning on Yom Kippur also has to lean from the Sefer Hazara. Can't stop leaning from another Sefer Torah. The Sefer Hazara had a special status. And over the generations, any Sefer you copy from the Sefer Hazara also has that higher level of the status of the Kedusha Sefer Torah. Okay, Bilionetta, I apologize for the pause in the middle. Bilionetta, next week we'll have to get together to learn a little bit Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, and then Tuesday after we'll learn a little bit Hilchas Yom Kippur. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.